Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 4th May 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Stitcher. So what's the focus at the start of this week, Derek, and what do you think will be important going forward?
Well, we had a 2.8% drop in the S&P 500 on Friday, so the sentiment at the start of this week is a little bit more negative, and the kind of primary macro story, if you like, is the kind of the focus from President Trump on China and the source of the COVID-19 coming from a laboratory lab in Wuhan. And Mike Pompeo said that there was, quote, enormous evidence to suggest that that was the case. So I think that's, along with some disappointing guidance or indications from some of the US tech firms on Friday, that's kind of undermined the sentiment at the start of this week. In terms of the Trump trade threat, and again, he explicitly spoke about tariffs as being the ultimate punishment for China in relation to the way in which it managed COVID. That will obviously make the markets nervous. You know, before COVID came along, we had already had bad trade volume data through much of 2019 because of the escalation of the threat and the trade war conflict between the US and China. And indeed, as of February, the annual change in global trade volumes was the weakest since the Great Financial Crisis. And of course, those figures are going to get decidedly worse now with the impact from COVID. And then if you throw on top of that the potential of further tariffs, it's obviously a dire combination. However, you know, I think while sentiment has been hit a little bit by this, you know, there's an element of an empty threat to what Trump is talking about. And of course, with the presidential election in November, the likelihood of Trump taking the decision to implement further tariffs, I think at this point of time is extremely unlikely. But what we should expect is geopolitical tensions to rise. And, you know, President Trump's going to be all about blame game and pointing the finger elsewhere, and China is clearly going to be the primary culprit in terms of COVID-19, and that certainly is a backdrop for increased geopolitical tensions, and that certainly doesn't help broader sentiment in the context of these lockdowns starting to reverse and what that might do for growth in the second half of the year. So it's certainly something to watch, but we certainly don't give much credence to the idea that we get any potential increased tariffs on the back of this.
Okay, and what events lie ahead this week that you think will be important for the markets, Derek?
Well, we had last week, it was the central banks, we had the BOJ, the Fed and the ECB. This week, it's the turn of the Bank of England, so we'll have that meeting on Thursday with the monetary policy report with the inflation and growth projections. And we just about lean towards the bank not doing anything. The Debt Management Office has announced its issuance plans for the months of May, June and July, which will be 180 billion of gilt issuance on top of the 45 billion issued in April. That 4-month period of 225 billion is nearly the same as the total for the entire year of 2009-2010 to deal with the Great Financial Crisis. So it really underlines the scale of issuance that's coming. And at the current pace of purchases from the Bank of England, about 70 billion to date, you know, they'll have spent their 200 billion increase in QE by July. So, you know, I think it's inevitable that more needs to be done, and there will be an increase in the size of quantitative easing. And I'm sure there will be strong communications in that regard on Thursday by Governor Bailey, but we don't think we'll get an actual increase at the meeting. We'll also get forecasts. Don't forget the Office of Budget Responsibility in its scenario had a minus 35% quarter-on-quarter growth GDP figure for Q2, but that was on the assumption that the current lockdown remains in place through the entire quarter. And that's not going to be the case. But having said that, it does look like the plans that will be revealed by the government on Thursday in relation to the easing of lockdown restrictions, that it is going to be pretty cautious and pretty slow, and we might not get any meaningful change until after the second bank holiday on the 26th of May. So a slow, gradual process of reversal through June means that, you know, the OBR's projection of complete lockdown for the whole quarter is too pessimistic, but not by a million miles. So, you know, we can certainly expect a potential forecast of -20, -25% from the Bank of England. And that equates to something in the region of 7, 8, 9% potentially in terms of calendar year GDP growth, in terms of the projections from the Bank of England. So that's all pretty negative, although admittedly more or less in the price. It's really about the lockdown and the plans, and we're expecting a pretty slow, cautious response from the government, given we did have an opinion poll over the weekend suggesting that households and corporates in the UK are still quite cautious and fearful about COVID-19, and therefore it's probably important that the government aren't seen to be rushing any easing of the lockdown restrictions.
And finally, Derek, your trade ideas, what can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I think the equity markets still incredibly resilient. Yes, we've seen some modest corrections, but you know, the S&P up to the 29th of April, up over 31% from the low on the 23rd of March, now just are at that level, just 13% below the record high. So, you know, there's still, because of the pricing in equity markets, there's any kind of bad news can be quite disruptive, we think, at these levels, and therefore we still stick with the US dollar more generally, and given what I've just said on the pound, gradual, cautious reversals of lockdowns, deep GDP forecasts of contraction, and more QE on the way, you know, the pound can certainly underperform. We've also kept our Euro-Swiss short position. We've had that for a while. Also, dollar-yen short position. We're maintaining that. Unfortunately, we're stopped out of our short Aussie dollar, US dollar position. That Aussie rallied quite significantly last week. It's now correcting lower. I think perhaps the timing of our trade was wrong, but the Aussie still looks overextended at these levels, and technically it looks overextended as well. So we're not surprised, and we think there's a chance we can see a further correction lower in Aussie dollar from where we are now. And that's it. And sorry, yeah. Then we've also got a short Canadian dollar, Swedish krona trade idea, and that's the most recent one that we've just put on last week. You know, Canada still on the border with the US, which has been hit significantly. Obviously, it's oil related as well. We're still at low levels on oil, while the Swedish krona has been outperforming, and the less restrictive lockdowns looks to be supporting the Swedish krona. So short Canadian dollars, Swedish krona is another trade idea that we've put out last week.
All right, brilliant. Thanks very much, Derek. Have a good week, and we speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.